Welcome back to Keeping It Low Key. We're your hosts, Gabriel and Brandon, and today we are keeping it low key with Pickle Darling. What's up?
Hello. I'm Pickle Darling.
You are our first international interview, and we are just so excited about that. We're officially branching out from the Americas, and you know, like you said earlier, Planet Between Us, and that is awesome. That is really cool.
Yeah, Mr. Worldwide. Thanks for having me.
So, New Zealand. That is that's a unique country, but like, I mean, it is a unique country, but
every country's a unique country, buddy.
That's not what I meant. What I'm saying is, it's like, of all the places, New Zealand, and that is awesome. So
I was only thinking of that recently because I feel like everyone in New Zealand, especially if you're like a musician, we're not as good as, like, we just want America to notice us or whatever. But I don't know. I guess, like, especially now during the pandemic where it's like, mm-hmm. New Zealand's the only place where you can do gigs and stuff.
Oh, that's right. New Zealand is like very low COVID rates, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's insane. How low was it?
I can't remember if we had one lockdown or two lockdowns. but it's pretty much like we can go out. We've all got this tracer app on our phone for contact tracing. It's pretty chill. Yeah. Like, we can have big concerts and stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, New Zealand's got their crap together. America needs to step up their game. US needs to step up the game just a tad. So anyways, we love the album. It is really good. It's very low key, and I personally love the song titles. They are they're so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, getting right into it, just talking kind of like about your music and stuff. You started off in 2017 with that first EP that you dropped, and then you have this 2-year time gap between then and now, or well, 2019 when you released the album. Was the 2-year gap like preparing for the album that was released? Or
I think I had started the album before the EP was out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what direction it was going to take.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was just going to be another EP or an album. I kind of just wanted to do EPs. But and then the album was kind of finished from my end of things, like maybe like a year before it came out, maybe slightly less than a year before it came out.
Oh,
because it's like the mixing and then doing all the kind of admin stuff you need for an album release.
Mm-hmm.
And sending it around to people and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I wish it wasn't that long, but it kind of works out. Because I'd done a lot of it before the first EP came out.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird, and by the time it had come out, I was already well into the next album, which I've just finished.
Actually, we had a question about that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Brandon noticed something.
I was on your Spotify earlier, and I noticed the album art for Spring Onion Pancakes had, like, changed.
Oh, and, did it?
Yeah, it's different now, and it says Cosmonaut on it, so...
Wait. That's not supposed to happen? Whoa. That's my distributor stuffing up. Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah. Is that supposed to be your new album cover?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm just going to email them now. Sorry. That's real bad.
Well, I mean, the album art looks dope. I'll say that much.
Looks really cool. That's crazy.
Yeah, I was...
That's like a little... I'll just pretend that was like a teaser.
Well, it looks really cool. It looks really cool. So, you have a music degree.
Yeah.
As well. So, where did you receive your degree from?
From CPIT, which is now called ARTA, in Christchurch. It's kind of like it's called the jazz school, but I didn't do the jazz course. I did this pop songwriting course, but it wasn't that great. it wasn't like, I don't know. All I really got out of it was meeting other cool people, but I think the course itself wasn't really catered towards me.
Okay.
Because yeah, so I kind of, and I was real lazy. I kind of didn't do anything. I just spent most of my time just sitting in the common room, just like watching movies and stuff. Everyone else would be practicing real hard, and I would just be sitting there just watching movies.
Is college different in New Zealand compared to America? Is it set up differently?
I think the debt is probably less crippling.
Okay.
Like,
everything here is pretty crippling.
Yes, that is true.
I think, because I have like, I think I've got like, what, 25 grand debt or something, like 30 grand debt. Oh, but I know people in America have like 100 grand debt and stuff.
That sounds like a godsend.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah, I was.
But it's also kind of just imaginary. It doesn't feel like it's real anyway. It doesn't feel like it's money that I'm paying, even though it is. But
I got you. When did you graduate?
2015, I think.
2015. Okay.
And then I did another course somewhere else, which was like a certificate in like audio engineering, which sounds real fancy. Like if you asked me to record a band, I wouldn't be able to do it. Because I went in knowing what I wanted to get out of it, which is just like my own kind of lo-fi stuff and just only focused on that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
I got you.
I got what I wanted out of it, I guess.
Right. What I was going to ask, though, is, like, did that set you up to start working on your first EP?
Yeah, I actually recorded bits of the first EP before I finished the course, I think. So I think I had... Yeah, the song Mouthful and This Little World were ones that I'd kind of done in the middle of the course and didn't really know what I was going to do with them. Mouthful took me like over a year to finish, though, because I didn't have a clear idea of what it was going to be.
I got you.
Yeah.
So, like, starting from, like, ground up then? Like, how would you say that, like, you go about creating one of your EPs?
I think I'm always writing lots of different notes on my phone for like song title ideas or lyric ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm on my computer just making music pretty independently of that. And then I'm also like, you know, like reading books and watching movies and thinking of like broader aesthetic ideas, like mm-hmm. What's the album package gonna feel like, or what's it gonna like, what's the essentially like the title and the world of the album, and those three things happen separately, and then eventually I kind of slowly bring them all together. So as I'm like, I'll kind of scroll through my phone and find lyrics that kind of work with the music, and then slowly adjust the trajectory of the album. It's like a goalpost, but I'm moving it from both directions, I guess, and then it meets somewhere in the middle, I guess. Oh. I don't know if that makes sense.
No.
Yeah. So I don't really have a clear idea at the start. I don't even have a clear idea of like when I'm starting a song.
So it just begins, is what you're saying. It just kind of starts.
Yeah. Or it doesn't even really, it's not like a defined start. Mm-hmm. There's so many, like I have hundreds of just unfinished projects on my computer, just different songs. And
do you find yourself like pulling from those unfinished projects and then just kind of like developing on those, and those are like kind of the songs that push forward?
Yeah, sometimes I'll just, if I'm stuck on ideas, I'll just go back through stuff that I'm like, oh, I found this thing from 4 years ago. There's something cool in that. Mm-hmm. Like Rin Spin Cycle came from that. I just went through this thing that I made like 3 years earlier, just that little synth line, mm-hmm. and just took that and made a new song out of that, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. And I've got something like, because I've just finished my new album and I'm working on the next album after that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a song in there that's from like before the first EP.
dang.
So, that I just never found a place for, I guess. Right. Yeah.
No, actually, that's actually a trend I feel like I've noticed with a lot of the independent musicians that we interview, is that unlike bands, everything is very like conceptual, where instead of just starting maybe with like a drum line or like a bass line or something like that, it just builds up. You're just like pulling from like all different areas, and then it just kind of like forms, and like it just kind of creates itself in the process. I feel like that's a very
yeah, it feels like making a movie or like something like that, where it's like it's mm-hmm. less about, I guess, because there's such little music today that's just simply playing your instrument and singing the song over it. It's like
mm-hmm.
you kind of build this whole thing around it.
Yeah, it's very conceptual. I get the sense of like world building almost from the way you go about making your music. It's almost like there's like an underlying narrative or like a theme to all of this.
Yeah. And it's not even like an intentional theme. Like, I'm not writing with the theme in mind, but usually the theme, like the title of the album, might change the way that I feel about what I've already done, I guess, or it's like.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, bringing that up, the titles of your songs, I mentioned that earlier. It's like kind of like part of like my favorite part of your music is that they're just so interesting. And yeah. I do have a favorite, actually.
Okay.
Favorite song or favorite title?
I have a favorite title. You mentioned it earlier, Rinse Spin Cycle / Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yeah.
And, I'd like to get a little bit of background on the... both parts are equally confusing, but they just... Together, it creates this...
Well, it's... wait, no, I don't want to steal his thunder. Here, go ahead.
Wait, I want to hear what
you think. Well, I think it's called Rinse Spin Cycle / Nicolas Cage because it was like the first half of the song, which is
that's right. Essentially.
And then it's because it's kind of like, well, it's, I don't want to say it's two songs, but like there's two sections to the song and he takes from both of the sections and that's where the title comes from.
Right. No, but my question is, how do you go about coming up with like, oh, I'm going to name this part Rinse Spin Cycle and this part Nicolas Cage?
I think I like, I'm a real big fan of like, I don't like the title of the song to just be the chorus or something. I feel like it's got to be something that is something real odd about the song or something not even in the song. And I think like it's more about like the feeling of the words and like the shape of the words and stuff and how the song titles look together.
Okay.
And often when like you start a project, you just have a really strange working title. And then you write the song. And often I just don't change the working titles because I think like, I don't know, like, there's something more interesting in that, I guess. And I also like picking a phrase where the title drop in the song is like kind of unexpected. Yeah. Like just kind of a throwaway line. I reckon that's like real cool.
Yeah.
I want to watch that Nicolas Cage movie.
Oh, it's Vampire's Kiss. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
It's the one all the memes are from. You'll watch it and you'll be like, oh man, that's all the memes.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage making the comeback recently, actually.
Yeah.
He just had a new Mandy, I think.
That is not new, but
oh yeah,
really good. Right, yeah.
I never saw that.
I haven't seen it either, but it looks interesting, and it's like the most artsy film he's been a part of. So
yeah, it looks awesome.
Yeah. We also had another question. I don't like. This was supposed to be our first question, so it. The explanation behind your stage name, Pickle Darling.
Oh yeah, because. I remember I found your music and I was like, that's a weird name. And then I saw Rinse Spin Cycle and I was like, that's a weirder name. And then I listened to it and I was like, oh man, this is like really good. And I just listened to Bigness on repeat for like 3 days straight.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the name comes from. I know I've been in bands in the past and I've suggested it as a name and everyone's like, that's a dumb name. So now I've got a solo project. So I'm like, yes, I can use it. And now I'm like, oh, it's a dumb name. I don't know. I feel like now I'm stuck doing twee music. But I guess that's like all I can make. I don't know. Yeah. I think it's all right.
I like it. Nobody else has that name.
It's like... It catches people.
No, there's a cat that has that name. If you look on Facebook and you look at Pickle Darling, there's just like this Facebook page that's just like a cat. Like someone's just made a page for their cat and it's called Pickle Darling. So,
That's not the answer I was expecting. Yeah, I remember we interviewed, are you familiar with Dandelion Hands?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, he was our last interview, and he had like a very strange explanation. So now I've all behind his name. So like now every time like one of our artists has like a unique name, I'm like, we need to ask them about their name.
Yeah,
Dandelion Hands is a great name. That's a cool name.
It is a cool name, and I gotta say, Peter Allen is a cool name too. Thank you.
American Poetry Club had a cool explanation behind theirs too.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, American Poetry Club.
Oh, did you interview them?
Yeah. They were our second interview, and then our first one was High Sun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're your Instagram bio, it said, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce the first word.
I can't remember what my Instagram bio is. Yeah. Oh, Ototahi. That's Christchurch.
What is it?
Christchurch. Ototahi.
Ahutahi.
So that's, yeah, so that's like the Maori name for Christchurch.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And it seems like you describe yourself as bedroom pop then as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I got to say, when I feel like listening to your music, I just want to like curl up in bed and play Animal Crossing. Like, while I yeah. it's got a very like, I feel like when I listen to music, sometimes I like associate it with colors. So it's very pastel to me. Your music.
I think of that a lot when I'm making music.
Colors,
I think of just like, yeah,
or like associations.
Yeah, I associate it more with like really early morning bus rides, because that's when I always listen to it.
I think that's like all my formative experiences with music were like on the bus to school.
Yeah,
just like, so I think that's what I want people to listen to on the bus. I think that's like the ideal way to hear it.
That's why I always listen to it. Like, yeah. Soft Cars in the morning just hits really different.
Oh, thank you.
So I guess your album cover was like kind of leaked. Cosmonaut.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm real mad about that.
So
that's crazy. How did that happen?
Yeah,
thanks for pointing that out.
You're not the only artist that has complained about their distributor.
That's so weird.
No, obviously we kind of like got to wait for the album release, but can you give us like a vague sense of like maybe like style change or like.
Well, I guess even just now you know the cover of it. it's like this space album. Yeah. You know how like movie sequels, you know how it's like, oh, there'll be one movie that's like in space or something.
Mm-hmm.
This is a real dumb way of explaining it. best example I can think of is The Brave Little Toaster. We watched it in my flat, and the first one is The Brave Little Toaster, and the second one is The Brave Little Toaster Goes to Mars, and then the third one is just like another normal Brave Little Toaster one, but the second one he goes to space for some reason.
Oh, so the, it's
so just, I think, like, I like,
it's like a play on like the way like some movie sequels just like kind of throw in space.
Maybe, but it was also like it really heavily like informed the album. Like all of it was all about like I was watching a lot of like, I guess, science fiction stuff and reading all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I wanted to do the opposite of the first album, which is really like small and down to earth, and the new one is still really small and down to earth, but it's more about like
space,
like distance and communication and like being isolated and stuff like that. So yeah, I think it's not like a Muse album or anything where it's all like literally about space. But
Yeah,
I think it just fit. And a lot of those science fiction movies, they're all just about really normal human things anyway. So it's like, I think it just worked really well. And it's a nice imagery to play with, like for the album cover and for the videos and stuff.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned it multiple times now. Are you a big like film buff?
I like movies. Yeah,
finally.
Gabe is like the biggest film nerd ever.
Oh, yeah, sweet.
And every artist we interview is just like, I don't care for movies, and then
and he dies. And
whoa, yeah, that's wild. How can someone not care about movies?
I don't
Everyone
know.
Likes at least like one movie.
Yeah, like they all like one movie, but they're like, yeah, I don't like watch movies all that often. They're like, I prefer TV shows, and I'm like, movies are like.
Movies are better than TV shows.
Yeah, movies are like significantly better than TV shows. But you've mentioned it multiple times. Are you like greatly influenced by a lot of them?
Yeah, definitely. Like each album was kind of influenced by different like movies and stuff. Like the mm-hmm. first, like the first EP and album, I kind of grouped them together because to me they're kind of part of the same world.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was watching heaps of like mumblecore movies because I was just like sad and lonely, and they were like just real comfort mm-hmm. movies, I guess. So all the samples on them I just like stole from movies.
I gotcha.
And I still do that. Oh. Yeah.
Oh yeah, sorry. I forgot a question I wanted to ask earlier was what's the sample? It's in the middle of Rinse Spin Cycle. What is that sample?
Oh, in the middle of it. That's from A Woman Under the Influence.
Okay. I'm trying to put a director to the title.
Cassavetes. It's real good.
I will have
to.
I've not seen that because I don't really watch movies that much.
This is why we need.
I could watch that one like over and over again. It's very like harrowing, but it's real good. I think that, and it was also.
Is that that's also a book?
Like right? It's. I'm not sure.
I feel like
I don't know actually. I think it's like. Most of the time when I pick the samples, it's not. Like, it usually works out thematically really well. Like, that one fits with the lyrics so well, but it's just a coincidence.
Because,
mm-hmm. like, I'm really just trying to find dialogue that sounds good and isn't just full of awkward silences and doesn't have music under it, which is so hard to find. And his movies hardly ever have music in them. So I'm like, oh, it's perfect.
Right. No, I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually attending film school. So like,
oh
yeah, I'm like,
awesome.
That's why I'm like a big movie buff or like a big movie nerd. But
what's something you've watched recently? What's some stuff you like?
Oh, recently.
We just watched Death Proof.
Actually I watched a Death Proof for the first time.
I haven't seen that. Is it the Tarantino one?
Yeah, it's Tarantino.
It's good.
And I gotta say, it's probably like my new favorite Tarantino film because it used to be Kill Bill. But and then I also
watched, I haven't seen that.
I think it's the funniest Tarantino movie. Not on purpose, but it is the funniest Tarantino movie. I wouldn't say it's my favorite.
We also watched Boogie Nights, which is
Oh, that's awesome.
It is good. It's oh my god.
Mark Wahlberg?
No.
Paul Thomas Anderson?
Yeah, Paul Thomas Anderson. I don't know why I was thinking Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
That is definitely not Wes Anderson.
Paul Wes Anderson.
Imagine Boogie Nights directed by Wes Anderson.
Yeah. Have you seen, what was that, Phantom Thread? Was that him?
I've heard of Phantom Thread.
I feel like everyone forgot about that one. That was a recent-ish one. It's about the guy who's like, he makes dresses and stuff. And
yeah, I think that is him.
Yes.
That one's awesome.
Yeah, we have a third co-host, but we're not introducing him until later.
Oh.
In later episodes, because we're about to wrap up our first like
I guess season.
Yeah, like our season. And
it's the third host, Paul Thomas Anderson. Is this the segue?
Really cool.
That'd be awesome. No, he's like an even bigger movie nerd than I am, because like that's all he does is watch movies. But
yeah,
damn.
Yeah, no. But I like that you draw from movies a lot, because I haven't met a music artist. We haven't interviewed a music artist that like has music as like a, or movies as like a central like source of
inspiration.
Yeah, inspiration.
I think filmmakers are also like more interesting than musicians. Like whenever I listen to interviews, I'll listen to like filmmaker interviews, and they're always there's so much more like observant of the world and more observant and like I don't know, they seem more because like musicians, it's just like we just write songs,
right, whatever.
But like I don't know, I think I just like,
I also
I kind of secretly wish I was like a filmmaker.
I always, oh well, I mean, you've done a lot of music videos, right?
Yeah, that's kind of like my outlet for that. Not right. That I'm like even directing them, but one of my friends is a filmmaker, and it's just like fun, just doing something visual, just like I don't know, I think it's like videos are just like the fun part of it for me, I think.
No, I like that a lot, because I think it's important that if you're an artist, you're not just obsessed with your like one
form of art.
Yeah, your one medium. You're obsessed with everything, because I think that like ultimately creates like the best art. Because like if you, I feel like there's a lot of artists out there that like, you know, I mean, obviously each artist has their own, you know, way of, you know, expressing themselves. But at the same time, I feel like if you're a listener, you can always tell when a artist is influenced solely by one thing compared to like a lot of things, because it creates more diverse music.
Yeah. No, definitely.
No, yeah, I like that a lot. Oh my God, I had a question in my head and I've just gone blank.
Nice.
I'm just gonna enjoy the starry background.
Oh,
well, you remember the question.
Oh, thank you. I think every artist mentioned.
Yeah,
noticed it. That was only because we didn't know what to put behind us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I do know what I was gonna ask. So your album art is like super. It's just straight up cool.
It's cute.
Yeah, it's cute. That's
it's really cute.
It's cute. Who does the art for you? Is that all one artist, or is that?
Yeah, so far it's all been one artist. My friend Heather.
Okay.
If you look up Heather Marigold on Instagram, she's real good. She's been like friend for ages. She does the album covers. Yeah, and they're all like hand painted and stuff.
Oh, nice.
That's awesome. I wasn't expecting you.
Yeah.
No, because they almost look digitally done. So then the fact that they're
here
looks.
That's just like her style of painting, just really like solid colors and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, right. It's cool.
It looks cool. Do you, so when you're like, when she does all the album art for you, is it like, do you like meet with her and you kind of like tell her like, this is kind of like what I want? And like,
yeah, I'm not usually super strict on like exact specifications, or like, because it's like I'm not an artist. So I feel like the artist has the better brain to think of that stuff. But we make like little like visual diaries and sketchbooks and stuff. And yeah, so the art will be kind of, she'll work on the album covers kind of at the same time as I'm working on the album. I've never related to like, because so many musicians and songwriters are always stumped when they have to do the album cover. They're always like, oh, I don't know what to do with the album cover. And I've just like never understood that, because I'm like, that's the best part of like making an album.
Right. Just like seeing album artwork is like, it's like your first impression, you know?
Yeah.
Like what are you presenting to the world, you know? And I think you've done a great job, because like, I mean, all your artwork so far has like definitely like presented the vibe. I feel like what the album sounds like. So is Heather, is she like, does she listen to the album as it's being made?
Yeah, I'll kind of send her stuff as I'm finishing it.
Right.
Yeah.
I got you. So for Bigness then, was it like, I'm assuming it's a little boy, right?
Like just with the yeah, I don't know. It's
little NB.
I guess it's like I don't even have anything specific in mind. Like what I wanted, the thing that gave me that idea was the SpongeBob movie soundtrack, which the cover is just like, maybe it's not the cover, maybe it's just a picture in the booklet, but it was just SpongeBob's face filling up the whole square. I was like, that's awesome. It'd be so cool to sing a record at the shop and one cover is just this giant face that's just like there. Yeah, so that eventually altered, like changed slightly to be kind of fitting in a frame. Yeah. There's a band called the Brunettes. They were like a twee band in New Zealand.
Okay.
And they've got this album called Holding Hands Feeding Ducks. And I think we got the idea for the layout from that. Just like, oh, just something real simple.
Right.
Make it feel like a kid's book.
Oh, I got you. Hey, thanks for tuning into that clip of the Keeping It Low Key podcast. You can find the rest of the episode at Keeping It Low Key YouTube channel or find us on Spotify. Thank you so much. See you next time.